Let's continue reading verses 12 through 17 of John chapter 13. Here we have the Lord's command to the disciples that they should follow his example and wash one another's feet. John chapter 13, verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well,' for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Once again, a few background notes. You will notice in verse 12 that some of your translations use the word reclined instead of sat down. Why? Well, I think most of you are aware that in the first century, they did not sit on chairs at a table for a meal like we do today. They reclined on backless couches around a low table. Their feet would be away from the table. Thus, when Mary of Bethany, for example, anointed the Lord's feet with the costly perfume back in chapter 12, and then wiped his feet with her hair, don't get the idea that she was crawling around under the table, right? With the Lord, you know, sitting on a chair pulled up to the table. No, she was at the end of the couch where his feet were exposed. And there she anointed his feet, wiped them with her hair. We also know from the accounts that she anointed his head as well. The fact that the Lord asked his disciples at the end of verse 12, "Do you know what I have done to you?" shows that there is definitely a deeper meaning to the foot washing. If there was no symbolism here, then the simple answer would be, "Well, yes, Lord, we know what you've done. You obviously humbled yourself and washed the dirt off our feet. You took the servant's place." Well, the Lord is indicating more than that. He's certainly indicating here that there is this deeper meaning. Go back to verse 7. "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Now, we've seen the symbolism in the foot washing in reference to cleansing from sin. Now, the Lord is going on to tell them to wash one another's feet. Verse 13 and 14, once again, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well,' for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Now, what does it mean to wash one another's feet? Is this an ordinance for the church? Are we supposed to literally wash one another's feet? Well, that brings us to our doctrinal points or teaching points for this section of John chapter 13. Doctrinal point number one, washing one another's feet is not an ordinance for the church. Washing one another's feet is not an ordinance for the church. Now, as you know, there are Christians who believe that the Lord here was instituting an ordinance for the church for all time. And so these Christians practice literal foot washing today as an ordinance, just like baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't think it's wrong to literally wash one another's feet as a gesture of serving one another. A few years ago, we had some students at Emmaus that had a foot washing in the dorms. Now, this was not a school function. They just did it on their own to indicate their willingness to serve one another. Now, while it's not wrong to literally wash one another's feet, we don't believe that foot washing is an ordinance for the church. Now, let me give you three reasons why it would seem that the Lord did not institute an ordinance of foot washing here. One, the early church did not practice foot washing as an ordinance. There is no indication in the rest of the New Testament or early church literature that the early church practiced foot washing as an ordinance. Now, it stands to reason that if the Lord meant foot washing to be an ordinance, then we would have some record as we move on into the epistles of that being an ordinance in the church. Or we would have some record from the early church literature, which we have plenty of, that this was practiced as an ordinance in the church. But we have no indication that it was practiced as an ordinance in the early church. Two, the only other mention of foot washing in the New Testament is not as an ordinance. You know where it's mentioned? Foot washing is mentioned in 1 Timothy 5:10. And there it is not an ordinance. 1 Timothy 5:10 is about the godly widow who has shown hospitality by washing the saints' feet. And three, the Lord's explanation of foot washing here indicates it is not an ordinance. Look again at verses 15 and 16. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. So the Lord's explanation of what it means to wash one another's feet is that we are to follow his example and humbly serve one another in love, not celebrate an ordinance. If the Lord had an ordinance in mind, then verse 16 would just not make sense. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. So for these reasons, then, we believe that foot washing is not an ordinance. It's rather a gesture that we should follow in serving one another humbly in love. Washing one another's feet is not an ordinance for the church. Doctrinal point number two. Washing one another's feet is not an option for the Christian. Washing one another's feet is not an option for the Christian. The Lord did not say, wash one another's feet if you feel like it, or if you have nothing else to do. No, we have a responsibility to wash one another's feet. It's not an option. Look at verse 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And verse 17, if you know these things, happy or blessed are you if you do them. We will be blessed if we obey the Lord in this matter of foot washing, washing one another's feet. All right then. How do we wash one another's feet? What does it mean to wash one another's feet? Well, already we've seen that in general, it means to humbly serve one another in love. To wash one another's feet is not always pleasant, right? To wash another brother or sister's feet, you know, we must be at their feet. That certainly takes humility. Dirty feet smell. It's not always pleasant to wash a brother or sister's feet. So that's what it means in general, to humbly serve one another in love. And it's not always pleasant, because to wash feet, you must be at the feet. Now, specifically, it means to apply the Word of God to the lives of our brothers and sisters in love. How does the Lord wash our feet when we pick up dirt from the ways of this world? Primarily, it is through his word. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word has a cleansing effect. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So as we see here, brothers or sisters with dirt on their feet need to have them washed. And we have a responsibility to apply the word to help wash their feet. Now that is not always easy. Many brothers and sisters do not like to have their feet washed. Do you? Especially by fellow believers? You like to have the word applied to you? We have that responsibility. It's not an option. Now, when we wash feet, we need to remember that the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that before we try to take the speck of sawdust out of a fellow believer's eye, we must make sure we get the log or telephone pole or beam out of our own eye so that we can see clearly to take the speck of sawdust out of our brother or sister's eye. But notice the Lord did not say, forget about the specks or forget about the speck of sawdust in your brother or sister's eye. No, he said, just make sure you get the logs or beams or telephone poles out of your own eye first. Then you'll be able to see clearly. See, we do have that responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility. Washing one another's feet is not an option for the Christian. Well, now that brings us to our practical application. Let's not wash one another's feet with scalding hot water or freezing cold water. Let's not wash one another's feet with scalding hot water or freezing cold water. Did you ever put your feet in a bowl of water which you thought was just going to be nice and warm, but it turned out to either be boiling hot or freezing cold? Do you see how this application comes now? We've said that the primary way in which we wash one another's feet from the dirt of this world is just the way the Lord washes our feet. We apply the word. But here's the point now. In application, we need to apply the right word, the right scripture, in the appropriate situation. Not boiling hot scripture or ice cold scripture, if you will, but just the right temperature scripture in that particular situation. Illustration. A few years ago, we had a student who had to leave Emmaus because of dirty feet. Now, I wrote this student a letter after he had gone from Emmaus, and I used scripture. Now, I did not use 2 Timothy 2:19, which says, let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. All right? I could have. But I felt that water was too hot for that situation. That student knew he was wrong. He knew he had to get his act together. I used scripture in the letter that emphasized God's willingness to forgive sin and to restore the sinner. That was the right temperature water for that situation. And other friends wrote along that same line. It's great to report that that student is walking with the Lord once again. Let's not wash one another's feet with scalding hot water or freezing cold water. How do we treat a believer who has been divorced? What about a Christian girl who is pregnant and she's not married? Do we just quote a scripture and then turn a cold shoulder? Or do we check out the situation and apply the right temperature water of the word? Let's not wash one another's feet with scalding hot water or freezing cold water.